Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So in order to win a football game, all three units have to show up. Your offense, your defense, and your special teams. Unfortunately for the Arkansas Razorbacks, you only had one unit that showed up the entire game, and that was Barry Odom's defense. There were some bright spots when you look at the offense. There were a few select bright spots on special teams, but not a lot from those units. But the takeaway, I think, from Saturday's game against the number four ranked team, Georgia Bulldogs, is that your defense showed up. We got to ask a couple questions this morning. Can this team win a game with an all-SEC schedule? And after seeing this game, seeing the first game of the 2020 season, do you think this team is better than last year? And that's going to be a question they will have to, I think, answer later down the road. But if there's any takeaway, what is it from game number one? We're going to be taking your calls all morning at 877-377-6963. Want your reaction. You finally got an Arkansas Razorback game this weekend, and we'll be talking about it all this morning on the Morning Rush. Got to get to a lot of different stuff regarding this Georgia game. We're going to have on Chuck Oliver of 680, the Fan, covers Georgia, covers college football. It's really great down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Whether you're listening online on hitthatline.com, whether you're listening on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, our video stream, or on any of our ESPN Arkansas stations, ESPN Northwest Arkansas as well, we really appreciate it this morning. It is a Hot Take Monday presented by Wheels RV. Make sure you get in all of your takes this morning, whether it's call, whether it's text. We are going to be taking them all throughout the morning.
Yeah, it's one of those days where you put yourself in a position for half of the ball game to compete. I think to build some expectations for where you can go this year. And I'm just not sure they had the motor or the engine or enough gas in the tank or whatever you want to say to go for four quarters with Georgia. Georgia's offense, boy, if I was a Georgia fan right now, I'd be really worried about what the rest of this season holds, and particularly with Alabama coming up in a few weeks. It looked okay against Missouri, but they didn't, the question is, does Missouri, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss look better than you thought? Perhaps. And I think Arkansas looks better than a lot of people thought as well. But in the end, we can talk about how great they played for a half. It's a four-quarter game, and in the end, you lose by 27.
And on that note, you said 36-10. I said 38-10. They met right in the middle of 37-10.
Yep.
So we were right in between as far as that goes. But listen, you can be positive, you can be negative. And I know people hate talking about moral victories, and I rewatched the game yesterday just to get a better grasp of everything that I watched, everything that I attained the first time around. And I couldn't help but notice how just good that defense was playing. There were some missed tackles, but I felt like it wasn't as many as last year. You saw an incredible hit from both Bumper Pool and Jalen Catalan. Jalen was one that forced the fumble. You have Monteric Brown picking off DeJuan Mathis. In fact, Catalan and Brown almost had an opportunity at two more interceptions during the course of the football game. I think if you want to separate it, Tommy, by units, the defense, You give them like 4.5 out of 5 stars. Like, I want to read you the second half drive. I know you printed off the second half drive chart. Here was what happened in the second half for the Arkansas offense, Tommy. 3-and-out, pick 6, INT, 3-and-out, 3-and-out, turnover on downs. That's what the Arkansas defense had to deal with in the second half, and yet they still only gave up the 37 points, and I know a touchdown from Richard LeCount with the pick 6, and yeah, that was LeCount that picked. One LeCount, but he had two interceptions in that game. But to me, I think the defense was really good, and they're going to have a tough challenge next week against KJ Costello and Mississippi State, who threw for an SEC record in his first football game. Yeah. It's against the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, like 623 yards. So yeah, we'll get to to those concerns a little bit later on. But I thought the defense set the tone. I didn't write down the quarter and the time, but I thought the play that kind of set the tone, and it doesn't go down anywhere in the box score, but I thought really rattled Mathis early and really kept the quarterback play from being kind of on track, was when Bumper Pool hit Mathis there on the sideline. He just goes down as a tackle. But that was a hard hit. It walloped him into the sideline. And I thought from then on, Mathis struggled a little bit. I think that got in his head. Maybe I'm overreading that. Maybe you didn't see it that way. But I thought that play rattled him and ultimately led to what Stetson coming in later on, because they just couldn't get the offense on track.
I just didn't think he was ready to play, period. Yeah. Like, and I know the hit was big, but I mean, over the course of the game, he just didn't look like he was ready for SEC competition. This was an Arkansas unit that was the worst defense in the Power 5, took a big step up under Barry Odom, and yes, it was a big-time hit from Bumper Pool. I just didn't think he was ready to play.
Yeah. And then, you may be right, but I don't think DeJuan Mathis was quite the same after that hit from Bumper Pool.
Yeah, two big-time hits, Bumper with the one on Mathis, and then you saw Jalen Catalan lighting up a Georgia wide receiver on, I think it was a slant route, if I remember that correctly. So it was pretty good. But here's the telling stat from this football game. It's not just from this football game, but from previous football games. And I remember I put this out on social media following the loss to Missouri last year, and since then, days have been on and on. It has been 1,423 days since you've won an SEC game at home. It has been 1,666 days since you've last beaten an SEC team, being Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi. Those are statistics that you never, as a football, basketball, baseball, pick a program, want to be associated with. And yet you are right now with this football program. So we can talk about how much the defense was improved. But like Tommy said, at the end of the day, you lost 37-10 against the fourth-string quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs. The fourth-string quarterback, similar to what you did against Lynn Bowden in Kentucky last year.
But in the end, Arkansas's not in a position yet to beat a top-five team. I mean, we can talk about final score. Maybe we can argue whether or not Georgia belongs in the top five. But they you know, box score says they were ranked third. Most people had them fourth. Whatever poll you're looking at, they were a top-five team going into this game. Arkansas is not in a position to truly compete with the Eastern Division champion from the last several years. What, they won it 3 years in a row, 2 years in a row? You know, Arkansas is just not in a position to compete at that level yet. I thought it's a commendable job, though, what they did for the first, you know, 2.5 quarters or so, and then it kind of came. They ran out of gas. It came apart.
I mean, you held a lead for 39 minutes too, and like Tommy said, debatably a top five team in the country. So there are some positives to take away. And Greg brings up a positive. He texts in and says, at least they covered, which they did cover. If you got the line at 27.5 or 28, Arkansas was able to manage in that football game. Some of you might have won a decent chunk of money. I know some listeners of the program who text me that were ecstatic, and I was like, why are y'all happy? It's because I won $300. I won $200 because Arkansas covered and stuff. But
they better be glad that Kirby Smart declined the penalty, took the points, and didn't go ahead and run a few more plays on that final drive.
And I thought that was respectable and commendable from Smart. And you saw them embrace him and Pittman embrace after the game. You saw Sam Pittman embrace with the Georgia players. And I know that during the television broadcast, both Dave Neal and DJ Shockley talked about that importance just of the player connection with Sam Pittman and his former Georgia players. And it was cool to see. And listen, I appreciate that, and obviously from a betting standpoint, I appreciate Kirby not doing that. And I know many of you do as well. But we're reacting all morning to this Arkansas-Georgia game, 37-10 loss to the Georgia Bulldogs. What were your thoughts? What were your takes? Positives, negatives? We're taking both this morning. It's 877-377-6963 on a Hot Take Monday.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Got to kind of get an update on what's going on with Julius Coates, because he left with a shoulder injury in the second quarter and Denver returned. But the defensive line, man, whether it's Xavier Kelly, whether it's Coates, whether it's Marshall, you look at those guys up front, part of the reason Georgia wasn't able to get anything established is because Arkansas's defensive line didn't. I mean, Derek LeBlanc coming over, I know people are really excited for what he was able to do with Kentucky. You saw the impact from him in game number one.
I agree, because if it wasn't stopping the run, it was chasing down quarterbacks backside. It was, you know, it was getting into the backfield and disrupting things. And some of these plays don't even show up necessarily in a stat, because they just made the quarterbacks continually uncomfortable. And there were multiple times they were chasing backside on either of those quarterbacks, depending on which half the game you want to talk about.
Here's Gene Chizik, former Auburn head coach, at halftime on Arkansas's defensive performance.
This is the best Arkansas defensive performance. I know it's early, but it is what it is. It's the best I've seen in years from these guys, but that's what Barry Odom brings.
This is a guy that has had a track level of success from the defensive perspective. And you look at Arkansas, what they were last year as a defense, the worst in Power 5, just kept getting scored on. I think it was 124th in the country, if I'm remembering that correctly. I mean, you just couldn't stop anyone. And I know that score ended up being 37-10, but if you look at what the defense allowed in that football game, it really wasn't that opportunity. But what really hurt the Arkansas defense was the Arkansas offense's inability to get anything going in this football game.
Defense gave up three touchdowns themselves, and what killed the defense is the bad starting field position, particularly in the first half. You know, Arkansas started on their 14, Georgia started on their 40. I mean, it's just the defense wasn't helped out there at all.
We're going to continue on this Arkansas football conversation shortly, but first I want to get into some quick hitting headlines here on the Morning Rush.
Quick hitting headlines brought to you this morning by OG&E. They're offering Arkansas customers a no-cost program to increase your comfort and to lower your bills. If your home's in Arkansas and at least 10 years old, OG&E will send a trained crew to perform an energy audit at no cost. And if your home qualifies, their crews will install measures that could include attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and much, much more. Hey, these services provided through this program are no charge to qualifying homes. If you or someone you know could benefit from the weatherization program, call OG&E today, 1-800-272-9741. That's 800-272-9741.
So the first one we have to get to, and I know Brendan Spiro started off by texting us this morning, the pain that he suffered over the weekend. Oklahoma falls to Kansas State at home. Lincoln Riley has been questioned a little bit sometimes in the midst of fourth quarter, and that goes back, dating back to the Oklahoma-Georgia college football playoff game, where Oklahoma seemed to have that game in hand, and they let it slip away. Well, they let this one slip away because they were down, they were up 21 points, if I remember correctly, and Kansas State and company, Klein, got them all the way back. And this is in Norman. This was not in Manhattan. This was in Norman, and they lost football game.
Against a Kansas State team that barely had enough players to actually play the game. They barely had enough to meet the, 53 scholarship player requirement to even play the game. So, yeah, just telling the whole story, Kansas State had half an arm or whatever tied behind their back. They weren't fully equipped with their roster. In fact, early in the week, it was widely rumored that they weren't even going to make the trip to Norman because they didn't think they'd have enough players, and then they go end up winning the ball game.
Yeah, good for Chris Klieman and Kansas State getting a big time win in Norman, Oklahoma. It's always refreshing to talk about an Oklahoma loss on a Monday morning. The only thing that would be better would probably be a Texas loss. So LSU goes down as well. I know a lot of you like to talk about that. Here was Mike Leach after the Mississippi State victory in that football game.
We played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs had somebody scheduled, so we played these guys. But
he has some of the best post-game quotes in the history of college football. I remember after Washington State, I think they beat USC, and he's talking to SportsCenter, the anchors, after that game. He's like, man, it's like Woodstock down here, but with everyone has their clothes on. So he is known for his post-game, pre-game, and really just quotes in general. But big win for Mississippi State, and the reason I want to bring that up is because that's obviously who you play 6:30 in Starkville on the SEC Network this upcoming Saturday. And KJ Costello played out of his mind. He goes for 623 passing yards, an SEC record, and was just unbelievable in that football game. And I know that LSU lost the majority of their defense last year. You've had some players opt out of this season, but my goodness, Mike Leach, have a debut, my man.
Yeah, what a day. What a glorious day. OU and LSU lose in the same day? I mean, what a glorious day of college football.
And
get with it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you us who lost. Jenkins, you want to hop
Texas
on this?
Texas nearly lost.
I'll say this. This is probably my worst of the weekend. Dak Prescott had an incredible fantasy performance, and I decided to go with Cam Newton against Las Vegas Raiders, who they were able to get the win, but did not have a good fantasy day. Cowboys are 1-2, my man. Now Dak played good. They had some mistakes, but
Shot ourselves in the foot way too many times to start the ball game.
Got to shore up that defense, man.
It was like 30-15 or whatever. I walked out and went to do a few other things around the house. Didn't go anywhere. Came back and it was like 31-30.
Yeah.
What happened here?
That's just it's the way it's been going. I mean, the secondary for the Cowboys is just absolutely injured all to pieces right now. But credit Dak Prescott. I mean, he second straight week. I mean, you had the Falcons had you beat pretty much, and we all know the Falcons can't win a ball game anymore, even if they're up by 3 touchdowns. It's the way it played out. But Dak Prescott played out of his mind yesterday, going for 475, I think, wasn't.
Yeah, it was very disappointing to see those 28 or 30 fantasy points on my bench. And I'm about to go.
How much did Cam Newton get you?
12.
Oh, okay. So,
little painful to watch that. Text out of the 501 says, and you bring up the Atlanta Falcons, maybe Lincoln Riley is trying to get a job with the Atlanta Falcons. Take over Dan Quinn's job. I'm sure that Tom Murphy, if he's listening to the program, is not a huge fan of that. We're taking your calls all morning, 877-377-6963. First call of the morning goes to Mr. Robert in Fort Smith. Robert, your overall thoughts on the game this weekend, man?
Hey, guys. No, the defense gave you all it had. It did. The offense just didn't help you out any. But since you want to play Gene Chizik this morning, I got to give you Joey Galloway and the scoreboard shows were not nice to Arkansas. They said Arkansas detail. And they were not bragging how our defense, because they were acting like Georgia's offense was just pitiful for the East. So I'm just going to flip that side of it, you know, and we just got to get the offense to get a little bit more help with us. And I think, you know, we might win a few more games, but I don't know about this weekend, though, because that guy's he's got an arm, quarterback for Mississippi State. He's good. I don't know if our defense can stop that, but y'all have a good one, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. The thing that Mike can that should concern you as a Razorback fan right now, Ty, is the 3M schools you've talked about are your best chances for victories. The schools that are in transition like you all played well. You know, Mississippi State won, Ole Miss lost to Florida, and Missouri had Alabama, very kind of similar assignment that Arkansas had. They looked, you know, probably better than expectations against Alabama at home. But, you know, the 3M schools aren't going to be pushovers beginning this week with Mississippi State.
Yeah, Mississippi State's not going to be easy competition. I know the Ole Miss offense, they look good. I think it was, it's not DJ Moore, but I can't think of the, it's Elijah, I think it's Elijah Moore, their stud wide receiver, had like an insane amount of passing or receiving yards in that football game. That's not going to be an easy football game either when you play them in Fayetteville in the next couple weeks. But it's just going to be fun to watch this kind of these four coaches, kind of how they navigate the SEC in game number one, because they're always going to get compared. We always talk about the Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Mitchell Trubisky comparison, all drafted in the same class. But this is going to be interesting as far as what's going to happen with this core of coaches this upcoming season. I want to talk about the play calling from Arkansas. Now, I'm not going to pretend like I have this just incredible knowledge of football, but I will say it was kind of interesting to see a couple gadget plays and stuff that called. And I think, and this is what I've said from time to time again, and I started out the program by saying I don't know if it's fair to necessarily judge the offense based on one game against the number one scoring defense as of last year in college football, but there, you obviously like some of the rollout plays that they had. Frank's found Burks for that touchdown. It took Frank how long did it take? Because you responded to my tweet on.
No, it Frank's was less. I mean, it's half a quarter. So what? 8 minutes. We didn't get the exact time. It was 8 minutes and something on the clock. 8:48. So I mean,
took probably
you know, a quarter. It wasn't even a quarter. It was like less than half a quarter. So that, what would that be? 6 minutes and. 6 minutes and 12 seconds into the ball game.
I appreciated how this offense was trying to find Treylon Burks. He goes for 102 receiving yards, a touchdown, nine times he touched the ball in that football game. And as an Arkansas fan, you should appreciate that Kendall Briles from the jump put a heavy emphasis on either your first or second best player, depending on where you put him and Rakeem Boyd, getting him the football. The gadget plays, I think anytime you try and run anything fancy around the red zone, it's probably not a good idea. When they tried that reverse, or I think it was a double reverse with TJ Hammonds in that one. You also had the rollout with Treylon Burks where he throws an interception to Richard LeCount. And listen, this is going to take time. It's not going to be a quick go, go, go. But this is something that Kendall's obviously going to have to adjust to being in the SEC. He's been in the Big 12. He's been in the American Athletic. He's been in the ACC. It's going to take him a little time to just kind of figure out the speed of the SEC defenses. I appreciated, though, just Treylon Burks was a heavy part of the game plan. I think that's important moving forward with this Arkansas offense. Back to the phones, going to Danny in Russellville, home of the Cyclones. Danny, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, guys. I saw some things that I liked Saturday. We tackled pretty good. And we got the ball to Treylon Burks. He looked really good. But Franks, he made some bad decisions. I mean, the ball was thrown twice when it shouldn't have been, and we had three interceptions. You just can't do that. We can't. We're not good enough. Mississippi State, they had 9 yards rushing and 623 yards passing. I guess so much for you need to run the football, huh? I mean, Arkansas couldn't run the football, and Mississippi State couldn't either. And I don't know. I could see us being better, like Tommy said, and not winning the game, and I could see us winning some games. I just don't know. It seems like when push comes to shove, we're stopping the run. Georgia says, oh, okay, we're just going to pick on you. We're going to start throwing the football. And when teams do that, it didn't seem like we're able to stop them. I mean, it seems as if we were in the play. We were there, but we just can't make the play. And I did see some improvement, except for special teams. Man, we're still bad. And anyway, guys, you have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call, Danny. Yeah, you take advantage of opportunities. I know you're talking about a few of those. There was a play, third and goal. I think it was opening the second half after the fumble recovery. And I believe it was Miles Slusher that got that. That third and goal, you have, it wasn't Davion Warren, it was Tyson Morris who had ran. They drew him out of the backfield, they motioned him out, and he is just sitting wide open on the left side of the football field. That would have resulted in a touchdown. It said you had to settle for an A.J. Reed field goal. And again, it goes to missed opportunities. The defense did as much as they could, and then just the special teams not taking advantage of those, and then the Arkansas offense just not getting anything going with Rakeem Boyd in that running game.
How about the play with Blake Kern, who catches it on the boundary and steps out of bounds? And if he doesn't step out of bounds, maybe he gets a long gain upfield.
And there was also a false start, unfortunately, in that play. You got to wonder if that would have.
Yeah, that's right. Because that play did get called back. That's right.
That was a bad. Because
I wonder if that penalty doesn't happen the way he was. Maybe
if he'd taken to the house. That was right. One of the questions I had put down and stuff. You think about again one of the opening plays of the or not the one of the few beginning plays in the first quarter where you have an opportunity for Simeon Blair to pick that ball off and take it back to the house. That was the following the drive where Treylon Burks scores that touchdown. So you just listen. You had opportunities. And Danny brought up Felipe Franks. I thought it was important. Felipe was wearing a suit jacket after the game. For those who didn't watch the press conference, you can watch Sam's. You can watch his, Grant Morgan's, Jalen Catalan's. HitThatLine.com, our YouTube channel as well. But he came in wearing a suit and a jacket and looked professional. And listen, that performance was not up to his standards. The two interceptions, probably had a couple more, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, he should have thrown a couple more, if not for Georgia just dropping some balls. He could have easily had three or four interceptions that football game. And I've said repeatedly over and over again, this guy has talent, but the consistency has not been there throughout the majority of his career. The quarterback question is something that is still up in the air with this football program right now. I don't think it was solidified after the Georgia game. That doesn't mean it can't be solidified and taken care of after Mississippi State. That doesn't mean Felipe can't have a really good respond game against the Bulldogs, but you weren't exactly extremely confident in the quarterback play following that game. Yes, he made a play or two where you're like, man, this guy's got it, especially the rollout find to Treylon Burks. But there were also some plays that left you scratching your head a little bit that made you wonder, hey, is this quarterback position going to be that much more improved in 2020?
In order for this offense to really get on track, and yes, Franks is going to need to, you know, to dial in some things and be more consistent, but Rakeem Boyd's got to just have a better day. And I know Georgia was a big part of why he couldn't even get 2 yards on average. 5 yards was his long play, 21 yards for the day on 11 carries. Rakeem Boyd's got to be a lot better than that statistically come Saturday against Mississippi State for this team to have a chance.
And I'm wondering, like, when you say Rakeem, to me, like, he just wasn't given any room. Like, I think back to when Leonard Fournette would play Alabama, and the constant was, oh, well, Leonard's not doing this, Leonard's not doing that. Well, Leonard didn't have anywhere to run when he played the Alabama Crimson Tide because they just put 8 or 9 in the box and he couldn't do anything. Well, for Rakeem, he rarely got an opportunity to showcase his skill, showcase his ability. And I'll say this, The offensive line, Tommy, they only gave up 2 sacks in this football game, and that's a defense that was coming after Franks. Now, he got hit a few times when he was letting the ball go, but 2 sacks, not terrible. But you also have to be able to establish the run in order to open the passing game up a little more. You have an all-SEC back in Rakeem Boyd, first or second, depending on who you ask. You got to give him opportunities, and he wasn't given ample opportunities on Saturday.
Yeah, and I agree. It's not all on Boyd, but I'm just saying for this offense to have the success that it's got to have to get the first downs it needs, which they had 15 against Georgia on Saturday, you're going to have to be able to get him to be a bigger part of the game and much, much closer to 100 yards. He doesn't necessarily have to go for 100, but Arkansas's got to keep that offense on the field to really play defense with your offense against Costello and this Mississippi State bunch. That's really, I think, a key to Saturday is playing keep away from Mississippi State's offense.
Here's a great statistic that Andrew Hutchinson put out. In Odom's first game as defensive coordinator, Arkansas held up SEC opponents to its lowest yards per play at 4.35 since 2015 against Missouri. Obviously, coincidentally, when Barry Odom was the head coach there. Again, he held the SEC opponents to its lowest yards per play since 2015. That's 5 years. First game. Now, Georgia's offense, like you're saying, you're dealing with your fourth-string quarterback, and I said it wrong. It's not Stedman Bailey. It's Stetson Bennett. I'm saying that right. I was thinking the old West Virginia wide receiver. So this offense, and listen, you don't have some of the guys. Pickens is a really good wide receiver. Unfortunately, he got the better, I think, of a slusher on that comeback route, which ended up putting the ball in the end zone. But this isn't like a Florida offense. This is an Alabama offense. This isn't as lethal as some of the other teams that you'll have on your schedule this upcoming season. But it's still Georgia, and they still have incredible recruits down there. It was interesting and really a fantastic stat from Andrew Hutchinson talking about that. Back to the phone lines. Rod is on I-40, wants to get his opinion in on the game on Saturday. Rod, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good morning, man. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. The only thing to do better is the Texas could have lost on the same day.
Oh,
they almost did.
Right. You'd have had the trifecta then.
So they
OU, LSU, Texas. They nearly did it, though.
I was going to say, I think Texas Tech fell short overtime, if I remember correctly.
One or two overtime. It definitely was overtime.
I would have been a happy man.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, whatever you got to pay, keep Barry Odom. He's the real deal, I swear to God. And 7-5 at the half, that I would take that, even though I'd love to have 14-5 or 21-5, which it could have easily been. Georgia tried their best to lose that game, but we just hadn't been at it long enough with this team to really get anything gelled up. It's going to take some time. And Tommy, what do you think about the offensive line? I'm kind of confused a little bit mixed emotions about.
I didn't see the kind of improvement I think we were hoping for yet, but it's game one against the best defense maybe in the country. So I'm going to withhold judgment at this point.
Yeah, we need about 3 more games to see the real trajectory of this team. I know we're thin on experience. I believe they're going to get better all year. And with the people we got working with them, they're going to get a lot better all year. So, and I get a lot of wins on the first end of the season, but we're kind of front-loaded right now. I mean, Georgia, for God's sakes, we've got Florida coming up. And Mississippi State looks like they were pretty good. So it's going to be a tough road to hoe, I'm afraid.
I appreciate the call this morning, Rod. You wonder what's going to happen in the Mississippi State game and how much that's going to impact the schedule the rest of the way. Got a text in here from Craig in Greenwood asking, do we have any offensive linemen out for Corona? Craig, not to my knowledge, but here's who you're missing on Saturday. You're missing Mateo Sully, Micah Smith, who is a defensive back. You're missing a lot of defensive backs. Miles Mason, Malik Chavis, Jarquez McClellan, Devin Bush, and Coylin Jackson as well. And yet, Arkansas's defense was the one that showed up better than anyone else on Saturday. So you wonder, with a full unit, what Barry Odom can do Saturday against Mississippi State.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd did good. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Chuck, good morning. I know you got 6 hours of radio due today, so thanks for making some time for us, man.
What's another 20?
Yeah, it's just talking college football. That's kind of like show prep, you know?
Exactly. exactly. All right, so let's start with the Arkansas-Georgia game, Chuck. Just kind of your overall thoughts on how the Arkansas fans should have reacted to the 37-10 loss to the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday.
Despite what some of the, you know, the scoreboard optics looked like at halftime and even, you know, getting into the third quarter, Arkansas never had anything going offensively. I think the tally of their possessions, I think it was 16 possessions, 8 three and outs, 4 turnovers, 2 scores. They had a regular old drive where you get a few first downs and a punt. They did that once. And then they had a loss on downs, which if you want to count that as a turnover, you can do that as well. I mean, it didn't take very long to get through 16 possessions to describe them there. No offensive consistency. And again, they don't have SEC players on the offensive line. They got SEC players at running back and wide receiver, and we've seen Felipe Franks do good things before, particularly on the deep pass. Felipe's always been pretty good taking shots deep. But it looked like a bunch of pieces parts, you know, that just were kind of jammed together and no cohesiveness, no real drives on the day. And I think that that's part of what Arkansas is going to be staring at, Arkansas fans are going to be staring at most of this year. If you don't block folks up front, I mean, everything else gets, you know, goes sideways on you. And that's something that the Hogs have been dealing with for probably 3 or 4 years, one of the worst offensive lines in America.
Chuck, you mentioned the SEC players at both running back and wide receiver. I know that a lot of headlines were comparing George Pickens and Treylon Burks, and I know a lot of Georgia fans were frustrated. It's like, why is George Pickens in the same category as Treylon Burks? George is way better. Did Treylon Burks show the SEC, Georgia fans, and others any something on Saturday that you think can put him in that elite wide receiver SEC category?
Oh, absolutely. If you're talking as far as, you know, accumulating some stats and numbers, et cetera, absolutely Treylon Burks can do that. I like Trey Knox as much, and he only had the one grab the other day. But we know when Morris brought in his talent, it was concentrated at wide receiver. He did a really good job bringing in talented, you know, recruits at that position and really kind of, you know, layering a couple of classes, bringing in talent there. I don't know what it's going to equal. I know that it gives you a chance to win your battle on the outside. And Treylon Burks, I mean, is he Jalen Waddle? Well, probably not, because he doesn't have the same quality quarterback or running game to occupy the secondary, et cetera. He won't have a season like that. But, yeah, Treylon Burks, he's absolutely SEC caliber, no doubt about that.
Should Arkansas fans be more excited about the potential of their defense, or Georgia fans be more concerned about the state of their offense?
It would be Georgia in the offense, because if we're just going to be, I mean, you know, we all live in the adult world here. Arkansas, that wasn't supposed to be a competitive thing the other day. It really wasn't. And I'm talking about, you know, football. What makes it different is it's the only sport where you really can put your hands on another person and move that guy around, you know. And Georgia is supposed to do that, even if it's not working at quarterback with Mathis, and even if, you know, they got some, you know, fits and starts on the outside with some of their receivers kind of growing into new roles. Georgia is supposed to be able to line up, and as soon as the ball snapped, the line of scrimmage is about 4 or 5 yards downfield against Arkansas. That's what it's supposed to be. So I give Arkansas credit, man. They played salty the other day, and I think that, you know, when Chavis came in, I didn't know how much of his fastball he had left. Arkansas's got a good one now with Barry Odom. I mean, he's head coaching material in the SEC and actually had some success doing that. But they played a little salty over there. But the big story, I mean, you can't get away from it. If Georgia plays like that in the first half, it's not because of Arkansas's defense. It's because they're not making plays. They're not executing on their own side.
So where does Georgia go from here at quarterback? Do you go back and start Bennett? Do you bring Mathis back? Or does JT Daniels get cleared finally?
Well, after Saturday, if you tell me the group of candidates is only two, then it has to be Stetson Bennett. If JT Daniels finally gets in, there's a difference between being cleared for contact, being cleared for practice, being cleared so that you're not wearing the green jersey, and being cleared to play in a game. When you put on pads and there's an opponent, that's always the dividing line for me. You know, we see kids all the time, they'll post videos during the summer coming back from an injury, and everybody, oh my gosh, did you see him cutting? Did you see him sprinting? I'm like, he's wearing shorts and he's out on a track somewhere. He's supposed to look good. Show me when the guy gets pads on and there's an opponent. And that's what really matters. And so if JT Daniels can get cleared for that, he's the best quarterback in the program right now. he would be the starter. But you can't go back to DeJuan Mathis, not against a team like Auburn. Again, Kevin Steele, I mean, that's playing right into what he loves, a young or inexperienced quarterback, and Mathis is both of those. Stetson Bennett is not an SEC starting caliber quarterback. He's not even close to it, but he made things happen the other day, so God bless him.
Talking college football, Chuck Oliver, 680 The Fan in Atlanta, the Chuck Oliver Show across the country. Chuck, looking at the other games in the SEC, I think the biggest standout has to be Mississippi State, KJ Costello, Mike Leach going down to Baton Rouge and getting that win. Was that more about Mississippi State and the offense that Mike Leach has established, or all the players that Ed Ogeron, including Joe Brady, including Dave Aranda, and all the team that they lost from last year's national championship squad?
Well, that's clearly part of it. And then once, you got back for June 1st, which was, all right, now we're going to be prepping for this season, it didn't end there. You had multiple players, including maybe the best receiver in America, opt out. You had other guys that were saying they were opting out, but I think when Pelini showed up, and it's a different defense, and maybe I'm going to lose my starting spot to a true freshman like Rick, so maybe I'll do something else. I'll call it opting out. But you're right, LSU lost all that talent. We all know that. Well, okay, so what? Mississippi State had 11 starters returning. They had 11 starters returning from a team that finished with a losing record and got its head coach fired. So, starters returning? I'd rather have three coming back from 15-0 in the greatest offense in history. I'll give Mississippi State a lot of credit. They found guys to catch the football over their 25 practices, and I think they actually had 21 or 22 of them. Their receivers have been along for the ride for about the past 3 or 4 years, even when Dak was still there. And that was not the case on Saturday, especially Callan Hill. I don't know that there's a player in college football, especially the SEC, who's going to do more to complete his NFL resume this year than Callan Hill. He was a battering ram the past 2 years, and that was kind of how he was looked at. Now he's looked, after one game, he's a three-down NFL back. I thought it was fantastic.
Stepping outside of the SEC, Chuck, OU loses to Kansas State at home 38-35. Spencer Rattler throws three interceptions in this football game. I know, former five-star quarterback, former number one dual threat and player in all of high school. Just kind of curious to see another Lincoln Riley fourth quarter collapse and just kind of what OU Sooner fans are thinking about that game.
Really bad tackling and sort of a casual approach to defense, and that is sort of how it is for some programs in that conference. And it's not like, the coaches don't want to play defense, but some of the style of play and how you recruit and what you make your priorities, et cetera. So we all know how that works, and that was the story the other day. Spencer Rattler is going to be fantastic. I'll give Klieman and Kansas State credit as the game went on. They kept giving him, everything's going to be an unscouted look pretty much for a kid who's, making his second start, third start, et cetera. And as the game went on, there were some more mistakes that started to pile up. But Spence Rattler is not going to be the problem. That kid is really, really talented. But again, all the credit in the world for Kansas State, because that was on the road, and they basically owned the second half and especially the fourth quarter.
And did it with 23 players missing, barely enough to even make a roster to make the trip, Chuck.
I'm glad you brought up, players missing. Virginia Tech, what they were able to get done.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit out of desperation, honestly. And I'm just giving you an opinion. I've texted some buddies up in Blacksburg, and if not for the way the beginning of the season had gone for Virginia Tech, as far as a postponement and a cancellation and et cetera, I don't know if Virginia Tech actually would have taken, if they already had a game or two under their belt, if they weren't looking at, well, dang, it's going to be three straight weeks that we have to push off our games, I don't know that Virginia Tech would have played. They did the same thing. They were losing, 23 players,
yeah,
four coaches, their DC, tremendous job by the Hokies.
Yeah, a couple of games like that. All right, let's circle back to the SEC. I think one of the marquee games this week is Texas A&M and Alabama. A&M struggled for quite a bit of the ball game with Vanderbilt on Saturday. Alabama won in a game they were never really threatened, but maybe was closer than you thought against Missouri. How do you see that marquee matchup in the league this week?
Texas A&M is probably going to be in trouble. And I don't know what's going to happen from week one to week two, but, we also didn't know what was going to happen in the debut week for the SEC. There are so many different scenarios about, well, we had 19 practices. Well, we got all 25 and we're missing X number of players and we've been missing five times that. So, I mean, we all know the different scenarios that could bite a team. Well, all of that was facing Alabama as well for the past, 3 months. And Alabama figured it out. Alabama made it work. Now, they're a squad. They got, it's like a Monopoly board, you know. They got more hotels than everybody. So the longer the game goes, you know, the more trips around the board, the more it's going to kind of tilt in Alabama's favor because they're just so much, you know, more talented than everybody. And that was some of what happened the other day. But I think that will be on full display Saturday, the national game against Texas A&M. Texas A&M didn't figure it out. They came out. It was fits and starts. It was inconsistency. It was their fourth-year starter at quarterback not consistently making plays. And Alabama showed up in Como and did it from the outset. It wasn't easy on anybody. Even if you have a talented roster, it's not easy. And Alabama look like Alabama. That's about the best compliment I can give them in week one.
Two more questions before we let you go, Chuck. We'll start with the Auburn-Georgia game this week. And I know that you were talking about, well, they better figure it out when they face Kevin Steele and company. Georgia, 8-point favorites in this one. This game will be played in Athens. Chuck, just kind of your overall thoughts on what the mentality should be for this Auburn-Georgia matchup this weekend.
Auburn's offensive line is awful. And anybody who can really get after you up front, and Kentucky did an okay job of that. I mean, Auburn hit some big plays and, you know, then some turnovers. But Auburn's offensive line is very not good. And anybody with some Sunday guys up front, their front seven, really, they're going to cause big problems for Auburn, certainly early in the season. And I didn't say anything on Saturday. I mean, Auburn couldn't move the ball consistently at all on the ground against Kentucky. And Bo Nix, just, you know, sheer talent, and the fact that Seth Williams is about 6'8", they were able to kind of make the passing game work. But I think Auburn, that should be the story on Saturday, is Auburn's offensive line and how, if they are able to, how well that they can kind of move Georgia.
And they lose J.B. Grimes in the offseason. I think Jack Bicknell is the guy that's taken over at that. Other notable SEC game this weekend, another top 15 matchup, Texas A&M, Alabama. I mean, Aggies barely got away with beating Vanderbilt this weekend, Chuck. Like, what should we expect from Jimbo Fisher going up against his former boss and Nick Saban? No assistant coach has ever beaten Nick Saban, and I'm thinking that's probably going to stay true this weekend.
Yeah, Kellen Mond is actually probably going to have to do a little bit more, and that's not what Jimbo wanted. That's the reason he moved Nia Smith to running back, and they liked what they got in Spiller there. But, I mean, he's the best player on that offense. With Austin sitting out the season, he's the best player on that team probably. And so keep the ball in his hands, and, you know, they've used him as a plow horse before. There was a game last year, I think A&M had like 75 snaps, and between runs and pass attempts, Kellen had like 58 plays with the ball in his hands. You know, I know Jimbo doesn't want that, but against Alabama, your only shot is to have the ball in the hands of your best player, and that's him. So it's going to be a tall order.
Chuck Oliver, hosts at 680 The Fan, also host of the Chuck Oliver Show across the country. Chuck, we really appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the top 10 matchup this weekend with Auburn and Georgia.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me on. Ask anytime.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Eli in Clarksville texted in, first-time texter, saying, I just like for one half that we were no longer the laughingstock of the SEC. I know that, and I'm forgetting the caller this morning, it might have been Danny in Russellville talking about how Joey Galloway made comments on college football, not final, but when he was talking about on ESPN. And I would venture to say that if you ask Joey Galloway to name two players on the Arkansas Razorbacks, he probably couldn't, but it's low-hanging fruit to make from Arkansas. But like Eli saying, for one half, you were at least contending with a top-five team in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, we know the football is played for 60 minutes. You got to play two halves. You can't just have one unit show up. All three have to show up. Unfortunately, Arkansas only allowed one unit to make its way to the game, the defense. But I was pleasantly surprised with the way Barry Odom's squad played, especially Tommy, since time and time again, that was the question mark that we had over and over again when we talked about the three units.
Yeah, and you know, Georgia was killing themselves with penalties in the first half. At one point, they nearly had as much penalty yardage. I think 93 penalty yards compared to 108 total offense at one point. I mean, it was just it was tough on Georgia. It had 8 penalties for 73 yards in the first quarter alone for Georgia. And in the second quarter, they added 3 more for 25. So 11 first-half penalties. They cut that down to 1 in the second half of the ballgame. So Georgia was getting in their own way, as well as having some offensive woes.
So. Got a text in here from Allen and Harrison. He says, I was very impressed with the effort on Saturday. It was obviously much better and much better coached, and they were much better prepared as well, and he thinks it's going to keep getting better. Now, I'm really curious. We talked about how the Mississippi State line opened up at 16 in favor of the Bulldogs this weekend. I'm curious what type of offense we see, what type of expansion we see. Mississippi State's defense, LSU had some success there. Arkansas can have some success as well. They'll be back in Starkville for the first time this season, following the game in Baton Rouge. How much improvement, how much marked improvement are we going to see from not only the offense, but Scott Found special teams this week?
We got to see a bunch on special teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, a whole bunch. And we referenced earlier, Brett Goode's going to join us on Wednesday. He's, of course, a former Razorback, played special teams in the NFL with the Packers for 10 years. I really want to have a great conversation with him about some specifics, because he was texting me during the game. And you could tell that he wasn't pleased about what was going on with the special teams and what we were seeing after you got a coordinator. Hey, this will fix things. More practice time, more focus, more attention on special teams from someone dedicated to that on staff. That was not the product you ordered.
And there was a couple penalties, Tommy, that could have made it even worse. But Georgia had a couple penalties, which kind of hurt their return yardage and stuff on special teams as far as that goes. Before we get into the best and the worst of the weekend, one more text in here. The text at 479, guys, Guy or Gal is just tuning in. Just our overall thoughts on the hot game. I would say that defense played really well for what they were given, the opportunities they unfortunately had to go into, especially in the second half. I would say the special teams needs to make a drastic improvement, as Tommy just said. And I would say that the offensive performance that you on Saturday will not be the customary offensive performance that you see from Kendall Briles the rest of the way. That potentially is the best defense you'll face all year long. Them or Alabama.
Fundamentally better on defense. They tackled better, and they covered better in the passing game. I thought the Arkansas secondary fundamentally covered wide receivers better for Georgia. The day of, you know, only giving up 200 passing yards or whatever in a game, is those days are over. I thought Arkansas just fundamentally played better, pursued the quarterback, put pressure on them, you know, caused Georgia's young quarterbacks to make poor decisions at times. So I thought Arkansas fundamentally played better on defense, and it just started with tackling. You hit on the special teams, got a long ways to go, and I thought the offensive line didn't take quite the step forward we'd hope to see out of in game one. However, you're playing one of the best defensive fronts in the country, so I'm going to withhold judgment on the offensive line for another game or two, because I want to see what happens over the course of these first four with them. I don't think George is a fair judgment or measuring stick to see if there's actually improvement.
I'm on that as well. All right, best and worst of the weekend coming at you.
It was the best of times. It was the worst.
Well, stopped us all of a sudden. I don't know why.
What happened there?
So I got some issues here.
False start.
See if we can
on the sound card
resolve those. All right. So best and worst of the weekend. Tommy, I would say my best of the weekend is got a chance to meet a few listeners this weekend. Utah and Kingston. Josh and from Fort Smith, and then also Scuba Steve from Fayetteville. Scuba Steve won the CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers gift card of the week and got a chance to meet him. He was kind enough to give Phil a roll of toilet paper. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
But for all the guys,
it looked used, by the way. I mean, I don't know what to think about that.
I don't know if I don't know.
Wasn't a full roll.
Yeah. So appreciate it. It was just cool. To meet some listeners over the weekend, and we got a call last week. I believe it was Josh and Harrison that called in and talked about just how we've been really busting our tails once sports ended for a brief period of time in March for a couple months, and we got it back. And I think this weekend was just another reminder of how much I enjoy this job, because like all the hard work, the effort that Tommy and I, Jenkins and Phil and everyone else, and Matty T and everyone else that puts in here at the radio station, it just kind of came, not necessarily to fruition, but this weekend was just another prime example to show that listeners and everyone involved with the radio station appreciates what we do. And so that was definitely my best of the worst of the weekend, just kind of hearing from different guys and gals and just their overall thoughts, because I love sports radio. It's been my favorite passion of mine since sophomore year of college, and just to continue to be able to what I do every single day relative to what other my friends have to do as far as their job concerned is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun to get to come in here and do this on a daily basis, and we appreciated those words on Friday. All right, best of the weekend's easy for me. Anytime I can watch OU and LSU both lose in the same day, are you kidding me? How is that? I mean, and then Texas nearly lost. I mean, that was a trifecta. But we certainly got the daily double out of this deal, so that was my best of the weekend. was watching OU's defense gag it away again, and then LSU just got outclassed by Mississippi State and KJ Costello.
And I think, Tommy, if I remember correctly, that Texas was highly favored by like 18 or 24 against Texas Tech. And yeah. it was a game that the Longhorns should have won pretty handily, but they weren't able to do that. Now, like you said, it would have been great if they would have just kind of choked it away again. Almost did, but Sam Ellinger and company were able to get the win.
Go to overtime to do it, but they got it done.
I guess you can, and you're not a Dallas Cowboy fan, so I guess you could add that in. I know Jenkins is, but I would say, Matt, the thing that's frustrating me and my worst of the weekend is as good as Dak Prescott played yesterday, I elected to go with Cam Newton against the Las Vegas Raiders over Dak, and Dak put up an insane amount of fantasy points, over 475 yards, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, something like that, was four touchdowns.
Unbelievable, and he was just sitting on my bench. I am now 0-3 in fantasy, and you would think...
How many points did you leave on the bench then?
A lot. We'll look at this disparity real quick. It was high. Cam Newton scored me 12.18, and Dak scored me 29.48, so 17. So
17 points, and how much did you lose by?
I'm ahead by like 10 right now, but my competitor has Lamar Jackson, Harrison Butker, which, by the way, big Monday Night Football game tonight, y'all. The Baltimore Ravens taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. We will have it for you on ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3 coverage. What's the game time on that?
7:15.
6 o'clock.
So we'll have you at 6 o'clock for the pregame.
Yeah, and you see who they're playing this next weekend? The Chiefs?
The Chiefs.
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
In case you hadn't looked it up. So,
back to back.
Yeah, the Chiefs and the Patriots next week. So a couple big games for Kansas City Chiefs fans.
I would say our friend David in South Arkansas, there's a very good chance if the Chiefs win tonight that he calls in tomorrow and we get to play that illustrious Chiefs music. But now 0-3, and I'm that much closer to competing for the Joey Chestnut Hot Dog Challenge, which is going to be painful. 76. I had our fantasy football group send in hot dog recipes last night. So chili dog boats and all these different hot dog recipes. I'm going to have to.
That's fully decorated with a bun and everything,
yeah,
right?
Just the minimum is a bun and dog. But like, if you're going to eat 76 of them, you got to
mix it up.
Yeah, you got to mix it up a little bit. So that is definitely my worst of the weekend as I get closer and closer to having to gorge myself in the next couple months.
All right. Best of the weekend for me. I mean, how do you not go with KJ Costello? 623 yards of passing for Mississippi State. I'm hoping you can't do it again. That's all I'm saying. I hope he has half a good a game this week as he did last week, but how do you not go with Costello?
Yeah, he was unbelievable in that football game. And Mike Leach, again, was really funny in that one. Here's what he had to say about the Mississippi State victory.
We played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs had somebody scheduled, so we played these guys. But
Mike Leach, always really funny after a win. He's funny after a loss as well, but definitely has had some hilarious quotes over the years as far as that goes, as far as that. And again, we've taken your calls, we've taken your text all morning reacting to the Arkansas loss 37-10 to Georgia. Tommy and I'm going to toot our own horns a little bit. He said 36-10, I said 38-10. We met right in the middle. So when it comes to score predicting, hopefully we'll be as far as that. And I will say this, unfortunately, Clay, for those who don't know, Clay was feeling a little bit under the weather this morning. He wasn't able to join us. Clay was kind enough to text me Sunday morning and be like, hey, what's your pick for the game this week? So I am getting back in Hogs Illustrated in his good graces, which I'm extremely excited about.
And it only cost me $50.
Oh, that's it. Just expense it. It's okay.
Hot Take Monday brought to you by the all-new Wills RV in Northwest Arkansas. They want you to get out and explore this fall. Wills has the luxury brands you can depend on to keep you camping. Brands like Grand Design, Alliance, KZ, and the all-new solar-powered Vibe. And with a lifetime warranty on every new unit and a mobile service shuttle, you can relax and know that your RV will stay like new year after year. Hey, it's at Wills RV, 5 miles west of exit 72 on 549 in Springdale. Seek, explore, and discover with Wills RV.
Arkansas is a 16-point underdog to the Mississippi State Bulldogs this weekend. We talked about how prolific KJ Costello was in game number one. I would be highly floored if he was able to put up 600 yards against Arkansas week one. You got game tape on him. You got game tape on the other Mississippi State players. So I think that Barry Odom and company will have a little more to work with than what Bo Pelini and LSU did this weekend.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.